Yabba dabba, baby. Here we are. Hour number three. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Where the answer is always yes. Oh, yeah. We have made it, my friends. And it is good to be here. It is Friday. Good morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we've got plenty of things to talk about. We've got special guests from the Ocala CEP coming up in the 9 o'clock hour to help you kind of connect the dots between, you know, growth that is occurring, businesses in the community. And, you know, you see the stuff growing all around you, and sometimes you have some questions. So I think we're going to address some of those issues coming up. Something that we have addressed, and we have talked to our Florida Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson, about actually a number of times, even most recently, which if you didn't catch it, the Bob Rose Show podcast, you'd be able to get that interview. All you have to do is download the podcast wherever you normally do, like whether it's Spotify or you use the Odyssey app, and just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. But one of the things we talked about is, you know, you've got these folks like, well, recent arrest of two Chinese nationals accused of smuggling a crop-killing fungus across the border. One expert warns that agro-terrorism from foreign adversaries could cause a severe disruption to the U.S. Chinese nationals, huh?
Okay.
Let's see. Last time Trump was in office, the economy was just really beginning to hum. Good times were ahead for sure. And then all of a sudden, this virus comes out, spreads around the world, was somehow mystifyingly leaked. Well, from a wet market first, but then we know it came from the Chinese lab, the Wuhan lab that they were working on, gain of function. Exactly, really identifies the nature of that virus. What are the odds of that? Now we have Chinese nationals trying to smuggle things in that would destroy our agriculture? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I believe it. Agroterrorism is any attempt to bring items into the United States intentionally that would impact our food supply. So this would be a biological organism or organisms like we saw in this case in Michigan, a specific lab-grown organism that is intended to attack items that are key to our agricultural survival as a nation. And Christoph Healy is one of the folks who was speaking out on this. He worked for the Department of Homeland Security for 15 years, first in immigration enforcement, then counter-corruption operations. Now he's a private investigator and expert witness. Obviously, we're an agricultural-based economy in many ways. So anything that's attacking our wheat, our barley, the basic standard of what goes into so many of our food products that's being introduced internationally, that's being introduced by a foreign threat to cause disruption, it's the same as any sort of other type of terrorism that's attacking a civilian population. It's just attacking it from the agricultural standpoint. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is akin to or even worse than really planting bombs in a building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, yeah. you're talking about a massive impact that it could have if, you know, we're not able to kind of fight it off in time. Chinese nationals Yongqing Jiang, 33, boyfriend Xiong Lu, 34, arrested earlier this month by the FBI, allegedly smuggling in these certain biological things into the U.S. and studying it in labs over a two-year period. And so this is a toxic fungus that causes a crop-killing head blight, a disease of wheat, barley, maize, and rice that is responsible for billions of dollars in economic losses worldwide each year. It is also toxic to humans and can cause vomiting, liver damage, and reproductive defects in humans and livestock.
That's not good.
I don't think Americans really understand or really recognize a threat of the Chinese Communist Party that they actually hold and how much of our economy is built into the CCP-run economy. I hope folks are waking up to this. He said that if a major event like a war over Taiwan were to occur, the United States would not be prepared for the wrath that China could unleash on America's crops and other critical infrastructure. We've talked about it for a while now. We call it the asymmetrical war. China's been engaged with us and against us on these levels for several years now. And look, this is just one tip of one spear. And they have a multi-pronged kind of approach that we know they're going to use. And that would include, you know, trying to make our GPS and other satellites dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. We already know they can impact our power grids and some other utilities as well. And we should be taking these things very, very seriously. Are we? I don't know. I mean, you only have so many resources that you can deal with. Do they catch everybody who comes through that tries to sneak in? Some kind of a biological agent like that? I know they try to. We want to. But are they successful in doing that? I don't know. But, of course, you know, the folks on the front lines, like the transportation folks, they're looking for things like bombs and weaponry and other dangerous stuff. Now they need to pay more attention to agricultural and biological terror threats.
Real tough job.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just have to be head on a swivel. I would suggest that is something we need to think about a lot more. We just came off 5 years ago, the entire world being shut down by what now appears to be a biological item that leaked from a laboratory and then infected millions of people and killed millions of people around the globe. This guy Healy warned that Americans should be prepared in the event of such an attack. If you don't, he says, you don't have to be a prepper and build a silo in Nebraska and bury your food supplies and wait for the end of the road. But you do have to be thinking a little bit down the road. Be prepared in the sense that you're the kind of person who's looking down the road, not 24 hours in the future, but looking weeks and maybe even months into the future and preparing accordingly.
You know, it's kind of interesting how so many times when the lefties want to go after Trump, they attack him on something, and it turns out he's usually right. And COVID was a great example. What was one of the first things he did? Stop those flights from China. What did the left do? They made fun of him. They called him a racist. And then you got Nancy Pelosi saying, hey, come on down to Chinatown. Everything is safe. It's a party. Come on. And it's like, look what it turned into. And he was right at the beginning.
He called it the China flu.
Yes.
When everybody else was shaking their head, don't do that, don't do that. Uh-huh. He was absolutely right.
Yep. Nailed it. Yep.
All right. Well, look, China's our adversary, and they're going to fight this asymmetrical war, and that's coming at us from anything you can think of that could be detrimental and hurt Americans, especially our economy and things like that. You got to kind of think outside the box, and nothing should be off the table because we know it's not for them.
Yeah,
that's the problem. But yet, here we are. There could be a fungus among us.
Ooh.
And that would not be good.
Better put a little salve on that thing.
Oh, I didn't tell you what 50 Cent was he was offering Zoran Mamdani. You know what he's offering him?
What's that?
A one-way ticket out of New York.
Well, isn't that kind?
Because even 50 Cent understands economics and what socialists do in terms of taxation.
Wow.
Details on that and a whole lot more is coming your way on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here, and it is Friday, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:20. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy, happy Friday. Yeah, it took an entertainer like 50 Cent to kind of straighten out. You realize this Zoran Mamdani, this guy that is very close to being the next mayor of New York, He said, look, I'm giving him a one-way ticket out. Yeah, like out of New York. Because he gets it. 50 Cent offered the candidate a one-way ticket out of New York after the Democratic Socialist name-dropped him while discussing his proposed tax increases. I'm telling Trump. That's what 50 Cent said. I'm telling Trump.
That's funny.
Where did he come from? 50 Cent said of Mamdani in a Wednesday Instagram post, sharing a video of the socialist saying during his appearance on The Breakfast Club that the rapper will not be happy with his tax plan. Whose friend is this? I'm not feeling this plan. No, 50 Cent continued. I'll give him $258,750 and a first-class one-way ticket away from New York. I'm telling Trump what he said, too. Yep. In the interview, Mamdani said that he wants to raise taxes to bring in an additional $10 billion in revenue in order to Trump-proof New York City.
So he's going to raise all these taxes so he can give away food and health care to illegals and ban all the guns. And basically sounds like he just has a little socialist empire he'd like to build there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to raise this money in two key ways. The first is to match the state's top corporate tax rate to that of New Jersey. We're 7.25%. They're at 11.5. Corporations can pay it over there. Well, then they can pay it over here. Mamdani said.
Wow.
I wonder how much of that the people knew before they went out and voted for this clown.
Mm-hmm.
The 33-year-old went on to say that the beauty of it is that companies won't be able to run and hide from his tax increases, noting they cannot simply flee to Florida, as he will still find a way to get their money.
Well, this sounds like, remember when California was trying to still get taxes from people who had left the state? I mean, that's what it kind of sounds like here.
Yeah, well, he said, wherever you're headquartered, as long as you do business in the state of New York, you are taxable for that corporate tax. You know what that'll do?
Wow. Yeah.
The people that live there, I know they don't. The socialist added that his second scheme to raise billions in taxpayer dollars is to implement a 2% tax increase on the top 1% of New Yorkers. And I know if 50 Cent is listening, he said, he's not going to be happy about this. Adding that the rapper tends to not like this tax policy, but I want to be very clear. This is about $20,000 a year. It's a rounding error, he added. And all these things together, they make every New Yorker's life better, including those who are actually getting taxed now. So this guy blatantly is telling everyone what he wants to do. He's going to raise taxes. And look, if he raises corporate taxes and anybody who does business in the state of New York is taxed, doesn't that automatically mean that all of the cost for all the goods and services, all the products, whether they're made in New York or come into New York, that they're going to be taxed and that that'll be passed on to the consumers, right? And people voted for that? Oh, that's right. That was kind of the fine print part of things, whereas in the bold print were things like free buses, free shopping centers that are owned by the city. Yeah. Yeah. Grocery stores. Oh, yeah. There's no way that New York can afford this guy on many different levels. But he is really very, very close to being the next mayor in New York City. Wow. You know, and you think that they never learn. They never learn. If really are that they're suckers, they'll fall for that freebie stuff.
No.
I guess you're never, I guess this is mostly people who don't feel like, you know, they'll ever be very successful in that they need the free groceries and need the free bus.
Wow.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's, you know, goes against our principles as Americans.
Yeah.
Where all we want really from government is just opportunity to succeed.
And what happens to a society that has had things handed to them, typically speaking?
They do less for themselves, mm-hmm. for one thing, and that yep. lowers productivity. It lowers your, you know, your human potential is never met. It ends with people who are very dissatisfied with their lives. So they increase drug addiction and alcoholism and crime.
Mm-hmm.
And they all go together because these are people that aren't happy, don't feel like they can get ahead. They become disgruntled.
But other than that, it's a great plan.
Man, it's a foolish plan, like everything is. Based on socialism generally is. But
I'm still amazed that many people would fall for that. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Well, remember that, you know, what was it? I think you told me 40% yeah. of the population of New York City are people who were not born there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of immigrants that understand that socialism is not a good thing. Many of them escaped from that
absolutely.
Kind of thing, socialism and communism.
Came here, started businesses, do very well for
yeah.
themselves. I mean, absolutely.
But I guess it's sort of a new wave of immigrant, if you will.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you're absolutely right.
John Hayward writes about Iran and cracking down. The Iranian theocracy was utterly humiliated by Israel and the U.S. during what President Trump christened the 12-day war. And reports indicated this week that the regime is unsurprisingly taking out its frustrations on its own people. Somehow it's their fault.
Hmm.
Reuters reported on Wednesday that Iran is staging an internal security crackdown across the country with mass arrests, executions, and military deployments, particularly in the restive Kurdish region. The crackdown actually began shortly after Israel began striking Iran's nuclear sites and military commanders on June 13th, when the regime moved to quell potential uprisings. The regime's strategy seems to have worked, and there have been no widespread protests or demands for a new government. Some Iranians are happy with the regime's dogged insistence on enriching uranium and its utter inability to defend itself against Israeli and U.S. airstrikes, but the regime has previously weathered much higher degrees of anger in the streets. They say this is nothing close to the Green Revolution of 2009 for the Woman Life Freedom Uprising of 2022. Several Iranian security officials told Reuters the regime was most concerned about unrest in the Kurdish regions of Iran, which lie mostly along the Turkish border. So they will be forces there put on alert. It's 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up next, Valor. We're going to shine the spotlight. Stay right here, 97.3 The Sky.
They answer first, ensuring our safety 24/7. 97.3 The Sky salutes first responders. The Sky Valor Honors Program.
Valor.
June is the month of valor. On 97.3 The Sky, we recognize the bravery of local law enforcement and first responders. This is what valor is all about. Shining a light on these heroes who are first on the scene when the unthinkable happens. We honor their life-saving efforts that go above and beyond the call of duty to keep us all safe. The 9th Annual Sky Valor Honors Program, presented by Campus USA Credit Union and Lawful Defense, along with Shoot GTR. And special thanks to Crime Stoppers of Alachua and Levy Counties, Palm Chevrolet of Ocala, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, and BJ Trophies and Awards. Today's honorees saluting Tracy DeLuca, Katie Rogers, Dimitri Nuremberg, Sergeant Jaron Griffin, and Sergeant Joseph Castor with the Gainesville Police Department. It was last September Tracy DeLuca and Katie Rogers heard sounds of discomfort coming from a co-worker's office. They found the man experiencing a medical emergency. They jumped into action. DeLuca called 911 as Rogers quickly sought the help from Sergeant Griffin and Sergeant Castor. Both sergeants assessed the situation and provided immediate assistance. Castor determined this was a high level of emergency and radioed EMTs for a critical response. Castor then assisted the patient to a more comfortable position away from his desk. Sergeant Griffin began important notifications to the co-worker's next of kin, on what was occurring and the next steps. Nuremberg provided additional comfort to his friend while helping inform EMTs. The patient was transported to the hospital, but sadly passed. The heroic efforts done by all involved provided, though, the patient with additional time to be with his family and to say his final goodbyes. For their swift action in dire emergency, compassion, and professionalism, Gainesville Police and 97.3 The Sky are proud to salute Tracy DeLuca, Katie Rogers, Dimitri Nuremberg, Sergeant Jerron Griffin, and Sergeant Joseph Castor as today's Sky Valor honorees. Sky Valor Honors Program, presented by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR, along with Campus USA Credit Union, and thanks to Crime Stoppers of Alachua and Levy Counties, Palm Chevrolet of Ocala, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, and BJ Trophies and Awards. We'll have another Sky honoree, 8:35, Monday morning on 97.3 The Sky. I hesitated at the end because we're at the end of June.
It is. It's about over. Yep.
So I was like,
just about.
We're going to wrap it up. Then we have a special presentation that's, you know, for the families themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not a public thing.
Right.
And that's what they want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Privately get together with the family and
yeah, it's fun.
Show appreciation to each other's and everybody's efforts. It's a good thing. It's a win-win. We
call it
Valor. And everybody seems to enjoy it. I know I'm happy to participate. So is Greg.
Mm-hmm.
It is 8:37 right now. And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said Thursday that establishment media outlets cheer against the efficacy of the strikes on Iran because they do not want to see Trump succeed. I mentioned this in my promo yesterday that, it was always Trump that told us about the fake news for the mm-hmm. most part. And now he's got some people around him that clearly understand that that's exactly what has taken place. It's obvious to the vast majority of people that have supported him. And, even some folks that are left of center, if they're being honest, if they're honest brokers, have to admit it. I mean, you've got things like 95% of all the Trump stories that ran are negative, things like that. And you even have this Chris Van Hoser, Democrat, coming out and saying, Trump's going after the media. Well, he's not going after them. He's not telling them not to report things. He's telling them to attempt to be at least somewhat fair instead of having an agenda of, anything that makes America and or Trump look bad, then that's what you want to roll with. So Pete Hegseth, he's been outspoken. He blasted reporters at a press conference at the Pentagon Thursday morning on the heels of a report from CNN that questioned the effectiveness of the strikes based on anonymously sourced descriptions of an early U.S. intel assessment. Quote, because you want him not to be successful so bad, you have to cheer against the efficacy of these strikes. You have to hope maybe they weren't effective. Maybe the way the Trump administration is representing them isn't true. Hegseth nailed it. He went through a litany of intelligence reports from American and Israeli intelligence about the effectiveness of the strikes, adding that the establishment press has spun half-truths and leaked information in every way possible in an effort to cause doubt and manipulate the public mind over whether or not our brave pilots were successful. Yeah, and I saw some clips from that, and you could see he was very strong in his words and he very irritated, not for himself, but for instance, the brave pilots who actually succeeded and pulled off this extremely difficult mission and did it, in very precise terms. Hegseth's press conference with Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Don Kain, comes as the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, told Radio France Internationale that Iran's nuclear program, quote, suffered enormous damage, unquote. He also noted that the centrifuges at Fordo were no longer operational. Kain said during the press conference that each of the six GBU-57 MOPs, or bunker busters, dropped at each vent at Fordo went exactly where they were intended to go. A bomb has three effects that cause damage: blast, fragmentation, and overpressure. In this case, the primary kill mechanism in the mission space was a mix of overpressure and blast, ripping through the open tunnels and destroying critical hardware. The majority of the damage we assessed based on our extensive modeling was a blast layer combined with the impulse extending from the shock. Imagine what this would look like six times over. Trump lauded Hegseth and Kane after the press conference. One of the greatest, most professional, most confirming news conferences I've ever seen. The fake news should fire everyone involved in this witch hunt and apologize to our great warriors and everyone else, he wrote.
Nice.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Gotta love it.
Yep. The smackdowns continue. This time it was CIA Director John Ratliff ripping Democrats during a closed-door briefing of senators on Thursday by comparing President Donald Trump's successful airstrikes eliminating Iran's nuclear program to former President Barack Obama's failures with his nuclear deal. A source in the room present for Ratcliffe's and Secretary of State Rubio's and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's, this was a closed door on Thursday, told Breitbart that the Democrat senators repeatedly pressed them about the effectiveness of the strikes, pushing for more proof than they have offered on the matter. In response, Ratcliffe told them, per the source present in the room, the way he knew how effective they were was how quickly they folded to Trump versus how long they dragged out negotiations with Obama.
Ooh, there you go.
So there is an easy to measure.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you know the strikes were devastatingly effective, Ratcliffe told the Senate Democrats in the briefing room. He said, Iran has been fighting Israel for decades. They strung along the Obama administration for 20 months while negotiating the JCPOA. But Trump made them accept a ceasefire with their mortal enemy in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Bam!
Oh, my goodness.
Take that, you whiners.
Yeah.
Ratcliffe also, during the briefing, reiterated the contents of a statement he previously released publicly in which he said the CIA can confirm that Iran's nuclear program has been severely damaged by the strikes that Trump ordered last weekend. And this includes new intelligence from a historically reliable and accurate source and method that several key Iranian nuclear facilities were destroyed and would have to be rebuilt over a course of years. Ratcliffe said, in part, in that public statement, which he reaffirmed to senators, though, behind closed doors. And this revelation of Ratcliffe going all in on this matter comes after the Senate Intel Committee Chairman, Senator Tom Cotton, out of Arkansas, publicly expressed confidence in the destruction of Iran's nuclear capabilities after Trump's airstrike. And so, yes, they're all together on this. They've seen the data. They've seen the information. And it's, you know, it's the likes of CNN that used leaked information to come up with a story to do anything it could to do their part to make President Trump look bad, even if it might make some of our military planners look a little bad or pilots not be all that. They don't care about any of that stuff. Their target is Trump. Everything else is collateral. They just don't care.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is.
It is. Rosie O'Donnell.
Uh-oh.
You ready for this?
Uh-oh.
It's Trump's fault that she overeats and overdrinks. It's Trump's fault.
Okay.
Because before that, wasn't she a super healthy, skinny...
Oh, they wanted to make her a supermodel.
That's what I was...
Of something. I'm not sure what, but... A model of something.
All right, stop it. You're gagging me over here. It's 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got special guests from the Ocala CEP coming up after the top of the hour. 97.3 The Sky. Yeah, Friday. Thank you. Thank you, dear Lord. Here we are. We're all on the right side of the grass.
Oh, yeah.
Breathing this beautiful air because we're inside. Outside?
Use your gills.
Slightly humid, possibly. But here we are. I mean, it's we're in full-blown summer now, folks. Don't worry. I see cool days ahead. They're called November.
Yes.
Oh, we'll get there.
We'll get there eventually.
It is 8:49. Yes. Good morning. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Yeah, I mentioned this before the break, that actress and comedian Rosie O'Donnell, who, you know, I have to be honest, I can't remember the last time she said something funny. And I know she definitely had some wit, some humor about her.
Probably like 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's the thing is, the more anti kind of Trump, the more they get this Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you can look for as a marker to this disease is that they tend to lose any sense of humor. There's not, you know, smiling or laughing.
Right. Uh-huh.
Who was it that said the Democrats are going to be the new party of joy? Remember that?
Oh, that, yeah, but you know, they even promoted that, and it lasted about an hour and a half.
Really did, and it fell flat because they said, what? That's the last thing we are is joyful. We're the exact opposite of that.
I mean, the irony of the Joy Behars, the Sonny Hostin, all the ones with these happy names are just some of the most bitter people.
And you think, the lassie, Rosie O'Donnell, she should be happy.
Yes.
Living in her forefather's homeland.
Hmm.
But,
She has four fathers?
No. She's just miserable. That's the point here, is those people with the TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, that's one of the markers.
It is.
They walk around with their brows are furrowed. They have just look of disdain and discontent on their face. They rarely smile. You can see the way that they fail to greet other people, say hello on the street. I mean, they're pretty obvious.
Bitter.
Very
unhappy.
Bitter.
Yeah.
Actress and comedian Rosie O'Donnell said that President Trump's first term took such a toll on her mental health that she began overeating and drinking, which led to her eventual self-deportation to Ireland. I don't have it here in front of me, but I'm pretty sure, you know, she put a couple of down and a couple of calories here and there before President Trump was President Trump.
I think that's a reasonable assumption on your part. I mean, you're not a medical doctor or anything, but I think you're on track there.
But you know what? At least she's got there's a little honesty here.
Yeah.
Well, she revealed her struggle with mental health.
Oh.
I mean,
we knew it, but I guess she is just not acknowledging it.
She blames Trump. In other words, it's not her failure to be able to handle information. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's her trigger, whatever she's decided it to be, but at least she realizes that it is a mental health issue. And I guess she was speaking with Chris Cuomo on his podcast this week.
Hmm.
I was very, very depressed. I was overeating. I was overdrinking. It hurt my heart that America believed the lies about him. And then it broke my heart to be in a business that creates and sells those lies for profit. What lies is she talking about?
Hmm.
What lies is she talking about? It's just, to me, it's bizarre that who the president is can impact your mental health.
Yeah, right. To that extent. I mean, we were not happy having Obama as president, but we carried on our lives. We didn't leave the country. We didn't get bitter. We just tried to make the best of it. And then we endured 4 years of the auto pen.
Dude, if that Obama man, if he gets four more years, man, I am going to be hitting the crack in the meth full time, man.
That's what happened to Hunter.
I can't handle it. Mentally, I'm breaking down. So you realize you have some sort of mental issue, and your answer to that, okay, old wise one, Rosie O'Donnell, was to drink and eat more?
How'd that help?
Yeah, how'd that work out for you? Huh?
She was bigger than ever.
Yeah.
So to speak.
O'Donnell said that she only decided to leave the country in fear for her mental health.
Oh, well, no, it follows you. It goes where you go.
I mean, Trump's still president no matter where you live.
Yes.
He's still president.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She called it an act of self-preservation. Look, if you're in a relationship where you're being mentally and or physically abused out of self-preservation, you need to get the heck out of there.
Yeah, crossing a border doesn't change anything.
No, if the person that you're residing with, living with, and have to deal with on a regular basis is creating you such harm to your own mental health, then yeah, you need to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You need to leave.
Yeah.
And that's very smart. But it's not like Trump was inviting himself into her house. Hey, Rosie. Rosie, I know. I said a couple of things, okay? Come on. We got to get past. Look, you're a comedian. You understand, you know? I had the crowd. Sorry that I had to use you.
I think she gave him residency in her head.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. O'Donnell said she only decided because it was self-preservation. She had to go for her mental health, adding she chose Ireland for having a different culture for celebrity and fame. Well, there's a lot of lefties over there, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
They love them some Obama.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I got here, I noticed right away that there was a different culture about celebrity. They're not lauded in Ireland. They're not thought of as any better than anyone else, she said. Coming home here felt like coming home. According to O'Donnell, random strangers began to mock her in front of her autistic 12-year-old child after Trump won in November. People in CVS saying to me and my autistic 12-year-old, "Hey, Rosie, Trump won." Ha ha. One cursed at us. Aww.
You don't think she's ever said or used language towards people that maybe wasn't always the nicest in the world?
Never.
This Rosie O'Donnell we're talking about.
Never.
Yeah. She's a pretty foul-mouthed individual.
I find myself feeling safe, she said, of Ireland. There's no MAGA support here.
Hmm.
I think she's a great example of having the Trump derangement syndrome. You imagine anything like impacting... You are allowing it to impact your world to such a point that you would actually move out of the country?
Yeah, that's a big issue there.
Yeah.
And it's hers. Her issue.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, for sure. Hey, locally, one of the big stories is Judge Gloria Walker has denied motions from Sheriff Chad Scott requesting a new trial or a reduction in the damages awarded by a jury to Deputy Kevin Davis for racial discrimination. This back in February, they awarded over $15 million to that deputy who had filed a lawsuit alleging he was denied promotions due to racial discrimination and was retaliated against after he filed the complaints. And the jury, they awarded him the $15 million for emotional pain and mental anguish. And ever since then, the county, the sheriff's office, whatever, they have been... trying to get a new trial, trying to do whatever they can, but so far, they're not successful in that. The 9 o'clock stretch is coming up next. We've got special guests Jamie and Joe Tardif from the Ocala Design Group here, representing Ocala CEP, talking about some great stuff, including the growth of Marion County. Next on 97.3 The Sky.